We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
I was something like, this is either going to sound perfect or stupid.
Or it's going to be Mom's Cold Open. Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal.
I'm sorry. Okay.
So my dead eyes to excited face.
Okay.
Insta-change.
Hannibal has been out at the lake with kids at
all
her
day.
Work all day. So how many kindergartners did you have out today?
19.
19 kindergartners that she took to the lake.
For like 5 hours.
So she's a little tired right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
And up until we started, she had this look on her face like, I'm going to pass out any moment. As soon as I started, Insta smile, and she was like, on it! It was hilarious.
Yes. I can pull out my happy face with a moment's notice.
That was one of those once a drama student, always a drama student moments. All right, so any other new news that we want to discuss with people?
I don't think so.
Oh, I should apologize.
Oh, because our...
We were a day later than we were supposed to be.
Yeah, we were a bit late on last week's recording because Mom is still dealing with a lot of these allergy problems.
So much better today, guys.
Which is awesome.
Because today is only the day after. So we recorded on Monday. It was supposed to come out on Tuesday, but I was again having to take Benadryl because I was like sneezing so bad I couldn't function. You know, editing a podcast on Benadryl is probably not the best plan, I've decided.
And it's also really probably not that easy, because you're probably, like, nearly ready to fall asleep.
I literally was there editing, and I'm like, eyes falling, and Abigail looks over, she's like, Mom, put your computer down and take a nap. I'm like, okay. And I literally just laid over the couch, and gone.
And
Benadryl
so
makes me pass out big time.
I didn't want to have Mom be stressing about trying to both edit the podcast and prepare notes for recording the next episode on that following Wednesday. Yeah. So we agreed that we were going to record on Thursday.
So I've had podcast stuff for 4 days straight now.
Super fun.
So we recorded Monday. I started editing Tuesday. I finished editing Wednesday.
Well, because we watched on Tuesday.
We watched on Tuesday. And then I finished editing Wednesday. Now here we are Thursday, and I rewatched to do the notes and pull clips, and now we're recording.
Yes.
Super
and
fun.
You very excitedly texted me that you did it all before like 3.
I was so proud of myself.
Oh my goodness.
I got this new humidifier, and I know I'll probably cut this out because people don't want to hear about my new humidifier. But I'm really excited. It's like this ultrasonic humidifier that has like a tray in the bottom here that you can put drops of essential oils.
I smelled that when I came in.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So it's like a diffuser and a humidifier all in one.
That's nice.
I'm breathing so much better now. It's wonderful.
You mean people aren't listening to our podcast to listen to us ramble about humidifiers and allergy problems?
Maybe they are, but
this is a 90210 podcast.
So maybe we should get talking about this.
Perhaps. Let me pull out my description.
Today we are discussing Season 2, Episode 13, Halloween.
Halloween!
Hannibal
spooky
loves
season,
Halloween.
Spooky season, spooky season, spooky season.
Yes, she's over here saying spooky season over and over again. Golly jeepers, child.
It's spooky season, guys.
Halloween is like probably one of your top favorite holidays.
Yes, it's currently spooky season.
Hannah, it's June.
It's spooky season.
Is that spooky season?
It's spooky season.
Oh, she was very afraid that it was going to ruin Halloween for her.
I was a little scared because I didn't know, because obviously when we watched it on the DVDs, we don't have descriptions on there.
Mm-mm.
So I didn't even have like a bad synopsis to see what was going to happen in this episode. So I was just going into it going, oh no, are they going to ruin Halloween? No, you can never ruin Halloween.
You're funny. Hey, Hannibal, can I hear the Back to the Peach Pit description?
Sure thing. As soon as I finish giggling.
Oh my goodness sakes, this is going to be fun.
Halloween has got the gang excited for all the activities that come along with the holiday. Scott tries to convince David to join him in the annual egg fight, despite the presence of the police stopping most of the usual participators. Some of the gang are going to a costume party, including Donna, Kelly, Brenda, Dylan, and Steve. But Brandon, not about the party scene, stays home to see trick-or-treaters and gets an unexpected guest that stops by to say hello.
Lovely. So this episode, we've decided, has three plot lines.
Yes.
One real main one, and then two kind of side ones. So we're going to split it up. We're going to talk about plot A, which is
the costume main party.
Halloween stuff, all about the costume party and what the gang is doing there.
Yes.
Then plot line B and C we'll talk about after our break, because as we said earlier, Hannibal went to the lake today and she's really hungry, which is kind of unusual for you. You normally don't eat very much.
Yeah, no, I normally have a very small appetite, but I'm quite hungry.
She ate a chicken salad sandwich when she first got here, and then after she made that, she found Sloppy Joe mix in my fridge left over from a couple nights ago, and she's like, I'm going to eat this on break. So
yeah, I might heat that up and just eat it out.
She'll be eating some Sloppy Joes on break.
Yeah.
So plotline B is Brandon and Emily and the whole Halloween stuff that they do. And then plotline C
is Scott and David.
Scott and David. And we kind of bring in some of the stuff of what David's doing before he goes to hang out with Scott, but we'll get to all that later.
Yes.
So to start with, plotline A, they're at school carving pumpkins, and Andrea is drawing on little pumpkins for kids at the Valley Youth Center.
Which is so cute.
Which, again, do you know I thought was really cool?
Hmm.
I've said this so many times lately, and I'm going to keep going with it.
About their consistency?
Yes, the consistency. That Andrea is not in the rest of the episode.
Because she's helping at the Valley Youth Center.
Yes, and they just put that little bitty detail in there
and I like
just to let us know.
And I like mentioning similar places that she's mentioned before.
Yeah.
Like the Valley Youth Center.
That's where she always helps out
at. That's where, you know, many episodes ago, Brandon, you know, through the Valley Youth Center, met that one kid that he was big brother to.
Yeah.
So okay. I like the consistency of bringing that back.
But the one thing your sister and I were discussing, and I want to see what you think of this, because you didn't happen to notice this as much as she and I did. Why in the world are they carving pumpkins at school, for one, and then they just leave them there and get up and walk away? They don't actually carve them. They dig the guts out, and they walk away and leave the guts and the half pumpkin there.
I wonder if maybe the school was doing some kind of a Halloween event, and so it was like some of the teachers were responsible for providing pumpkins, and so they asked the students to help.
That would make sense.
And if none of our gang were planning on going to a school party, which
valid.
Their scene is not school parties.
No, maybe they're throwing it for like the elementary school in the area or something.
Maybe, or something like that, I feel like.
It was just really odd.
It was that
we
strange.
See them all doing stuff with pumpkins.
Or maybe we just didn't see them carry them out.
They get up and walk away from them and leave them there. We see the three girls when they're sitting there pulling all the pumpkin guts up. We see them get up and leave, or am I remembering
that
wrong?
I think they fully get up and leave.
I'm just remembering wrong. Cool.
I think like...
It just implies that. It was
no, because Kelly and Donna do leave.
Yeah, they do.
Because they have to go to the costume party.
The costume store.
Yeah, to go and find their new costumes.
How weird is that? They just leave. And they're digging all the pumpkin guts out and putting it just on a newspaper next to it.
And in each other's faces.
And in each other's faces, of course. And they get up and walk away with these pumpkins that are drawn on to carve, but not carved. And pumpkin guts just sitting next to it. And just leave it there.
That is this episode's one inconsistency problem.
Yeah.
Is what happened to the pumpkins?
This was written by Jonathan Roberts, by the way. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Yes, which I've seen his name pop up before.
Yes, what else did we see him write in one of the other episodes recently?
I don't remember.
I must
off
look
the top
this up.
Of my head. Yeah.
Pardon me while I... You. Jonathan Roberts is the dude who's written, like, a ton of stuff for Disney.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, the last episode here was Anaconda.
Anaconda.
He wrote Anaconda,
that's
this
right.
one, and he has two more this season, and then one more next season.
Okay, but what about for Disney?
Oh my goodness, seriously? So many. Lion King, all the Lion King, everything. He's got stuff in that.
A bunch of it.
Dinosaur, Jack Frost. He helped write the screenplay for that.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, okay.
Uh-huh. James and the Giant Peach, more Lion King, Fast Times. So he's written a lot.
Huh, that's actually really cool.
And I think we had this exact same conversation.
Did we?
During Anaconda.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure.
This does not seem familiar at all, but it's very likely that it happened.
Like, if I went and found that one and played it, it'd probably sound almost exactly the same as what we just said.
Probably down to really, my going, huh, that's really cool.
So, there you go, guys.
I am not the best at remembering things.
So, as the girls are sitting around digging pumpkin guts out.
Yes.
to leave there.
We're talking about Halloween plans.
Yes, Halloween plans and costumes and all that jazz.
Yes.
I don't know. Back in Minnesota, we used to make our own costumes. I can't really picture myself going to Hollywood Costumes and renting something for this party that Joan Collins or somebody else already sweated in.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they cleaned up. Anyway, I'm renting. So what's Brandon going out?
Oh, he's staying home. He does the same thing every year. He dresses up as Dracula and tries to scare the trick-or-treaters. And does he scare them? Donna, picture Brandon Walsh in a cape. With big, fake, plastic teeth. Scared?
No.
No.
I love their teasing little... Like, Brandon's not even there, and just the, like, scary.
I can't, funny.
I don't remember which of the girls said it, but either Kelly or Donna, one of them was, like, sarcastically saying, ooh, scary.
I think it was Donna. I think Kelly was there yet. Because this was just a conversation between Brenda and Donna. Yes.
Then Kelly comes in.
Yes.
To let Donna know that, they were going to go to this costume store and pick up the costumes that they were going to rent with their dates. But their dates canceled on them.
Yeah, they're going to some big bash in Malibu instead.
Yes, and...
So the girls were going to be Lucy and Ethel from I Love Lucy.
Right.
And their dates were going to be Ricky and Fred.
But that's really hard to do Lucy and Ethel.
Don't have Ricky and Fred.
It's just a little weird. So they're going to have to go and pick out different costumes. Brenda decides to tag along to help pick out something for Dylan.
Because she and Dylan are going to go to the same costume party, and they don't have costumes yet. And Steve's also going along, too, because he needs to get a costume as well. The one thing I want to say real quick about Kelly that I was kind of a little annoyed with this episode, she keeps saying repeatedly how I just got dumped. I'm like, it's not like your boyfriend broke up with you. It's a guy that you were going to go to a party with that we've never met before. Isn't going to the party with you, but she's acting like she just got massively dumped and broken up with.
Then again, teenage girls are just dramatic in general.
Valid point.
This is probably the same girl who, if she broke a nail in class, would have a panic attack. Dramatic about everything that happens in their life.
So speaking of dramatic teenage girls, we're at the Hollywood costume store.
Oh my goodness. This was such a fun bunch of scenes because every time...
It was so visual, so I couldn't pull it as clips because it's all very visual.
Yeah. So, like, the way the costume store is set up, it looks like it's, like, aisles and aisles of just clothing racks mm-hmm. that are just filled with old costumes.
Yes.
From all kinds of movies and probably shows and just...
Things you can
donated
rent.
Items.
Yeah. And it was really cool because they could find stuff. They were pawing through it all.
Every time we saw each of the boys, Dylan and Steve, they were wearing a different weird piece of costume.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
And I loved the background sounds.
Yes.
A lot of times the show will have music in the background. Mm-hmm. This one was sound effects, which I thought was really cool for a Hollywood costume
which
store.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially at Halloween.
Right? It was so fun. This episode did such a neat job with the sound effects. So Steve finds a Zorro costume for himself.
Which
is very fitting. And,
yeah. Classic.
There was a Zorro sound effect of some sort. And
something.
Dylan's still like, I'm not wearing a costume. And then Brenda finds a Robin Hood costume and holds it up to him. And there's like, it makes a sound like a bow and arrow being shot. It's really funny. And he's like, can you see me wearing tights? And she's like, oh. And then she holds up these green tights like, Never mind.
And
puts them back.
I remember what the sound effect was for Zorro. It was like the bugle. Kind of like.
I like that. That was a nice little sound effect. Well
thank
done.
Thank you. Thanks.
So proud of you.
I'm really glad that turned out right because I was really worried.
Oh, goodness sakes.
Anywho. But that's what the sound effect was.
Yes,
it was like
yes.
the like Western like showdown kind of bugle sound.
So Donna finds a Munchkin costume from
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. From the Emerald City.
Yes.
And Munchkin had a number 47 or I don't know what
something
it was.
Something like that.
And she's like putting on the hat. She's really looking for these silly costumes.
Which I love.
That's so Donna.
I mean, the red dress. Donna likes to go out there.
Yes. Remember at the end of recording last week's when I mentioned the red dress? Now you understand why.
Now I understand.
You understand why now.
Yes.
So Donna's like, no, I'm going to go find something else. But she finds something.
But she doesn't.
It, won't tell anybody.
She's like, no, it's going to be a surprise. I think I'm going to win for at least funniest costume.
And at that point, anybody watching it is like, oh, no. Oh, Donna, what are you doing?
What did you find?
It was so funny.
Oh, my gosh. But then after, I think after she finds that, then that's when Dylan and Steve kind of pop between the clothing racks.
Yeah.
And Dylan is very excited to have found a costume idea for him and Brenda.
He's so excited. Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
So he's got this Clyde costume held up. And
it's very classy.
Yeah. And she's just like, I don't care what it is.
You want to wear look. A costume?
She's like, yeah, I'll do that. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cute. And then Kelly. Kelly keeps getting drawn to these very slutty costumes.
And that's when I kind of had this feeling like she was on a different journey this episode.
Yeah.
Than a lot of the other characters.
And what so I had this conversation with Abigail. I can't remember if I had it with you as well when we were watching it. But in the early 90s, college kids did a lot of the how slutty can I dress things. But even when you look at this costume party that they go to, everybody's wearing actual costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember high school kids seeing how slutty can I be costumes.
Mm-mm.
So for Kelly to do this, it's definitely not normal.
It's definitely out of the blue. In my, modern terminology and my knowledge, most of the people my age, for years, whenever they go to any kind of Halloween thing, it's usually how slutty can I make this costume.
Or how uncostumey can I make this costume.
Yeah.
It's usually one of those two extremes.
Which is just kind of how my generation has developed with Halloween. But at that time, slutty costumes weren't really a thing.
And she's finding, the sluttiest of the slutty costumes.
That's like one she comes up to Brenda with, just a corset and these weird little dangly bits.
Yeah, like a showgirl dancer outfit.
Yeah, and she thinks, this is so great, I love this.
Yeah,
and
they're like, oh, that's a bit much.
Donna and Brenda are almost Brenda kind of rushes over, almost like she's trying to, cover up Kelly from the rest of the store.
Because
Kelly's just wandering through the aisles
shouldn't be wearing
in
this
costume that she's trying on.
Yeah. I mean, these girls are 17.
Yeah.
They're still children. They should not be doing this.
No.
But Kelly's going to be Kelly. So she rents something and doesn't tell them what it is again.
Yes.
So then next time we see them is at the big party. Everyone's showing up in costume. Donna is a mermaid.
And by a mermaid, we mean that her feet are the flippers, and the tail is tight all the way to her ankles.
She can only move her feet an inch apart from each other.
Imagine sticking your legs and your ankles together and just trying to waddle everywhere. And that's what poor Donna has done to herself.
She's doing the whole thing she did with the red dress. I can't move.
She's uncomfortable.
Oh,
and
poor girl.
She's also got this really long wig that she keeps constantly seeming to fidget
mess with.
Yes.
Everyone at the party is just staring at her and laughing.
Yes. Which Dylan and Brenda's costume reveal was actually at the Walsh house
before they left. It was.
Because Cindy was really excited for a photo opportunity.
Yes, photo op. Which another moment I want to say real quick about this episode that I thought this show does really well a lot of times, but this time, spot on. The transitions.
Yes.
Because we were at the Walsh house and Cindy gets her camera because I can see a photo op and she's taking a picture of Dylan and Brenda in their Bonnie and Clyde costumes.
But then the flash,
as soon as that flash went off,
it changes scenes.
Yeah, that flash changes to a spotlight shining at the camera.
Yes.
At the party, which I thought was a really cool transition.
Yeah.
So it was like they put a spotlight on top of the house.
Right. And so
it's really interesting.
I also really enjoyed that transition. And I loved getting to see, that's when we get to see Brandon briefly. At the Walsh house, it kind of starts with what he's doing and then transitions back into plot A very smoothly.
Very smoothly. Very well done.
Oh, yeah.
And so then at the party, Kelly comes up and she's in a bad witch costume, a.k.a. lingerie with a wand.
It's literally it's a corset that has a high collar on
the back.
Well,
that's the cape thing that she has over top of it. Underneath of it, it's just a corset lingerie.
It's just
lingerie.
A corset. And, the dress part of it, I think at one point in time, it might have been just, a corset with, a skirt on it. But she said she made alterations to it.
Yeah.
She cut these slits in the dress all the way up to her hips.
It was super,
It literally, it's
honey,
a piece in the middle and then pieces on the side. But just her legs are just out.
I was really worried about her at that point.
I was like,
oh, Kelly, you're at a typical house party with people that you don't know.
Yep. But she was getting the attention she wanted. Every guy there was hitting on her.
Every one of them.
And then this one guy comes up and starts hitting on her. And I recorded this, pulled this clip because you can see Brenda walk up in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And after this clip ends, Dylan was sending Brenda to go warn her about this guy, because this guy's like the sleaziest guy around. Then she realizes, ah, Kelly figured that out already.
Yes.
You look really, really good in that dress. Want to go for a drive? I have my dad's Infiniti, a bottle of whiskey.
I'll tell you what, Michael Sharp.
Sure.
Right. Why don't you take your bottle and go get Daddy's Infiniti started?
Yeah.
Then drive up the side of the house, you know, where the driveway turns around.
Yeah, sure.
Wait about 10 minutes. And then put the car in gear, drive to Santa Monica Pier, and keep on going. See if that baby floats.
I love that because even though, yeah, Kelly dressed really slutty and she was definitely putting off some vibes that she didn't want to,
she still is willing to stand up for herself.
Yes, I was really proud of her there.
Yes.
So then Brenda comes over and that's when she tells her, like, Dylan sent me over because this guy was like the sleaziest guy around, but looks like you figured that out.
Yeah, you got it.
So they start scoping out guys together.
Yes, which is kind of cute.
It was really
cute.
It's
sort of reminiscent of the beginning of their friendship back in early season one before Brenda had even met Dylan. Back when they were just two girls who met and were constantly checking out all the cute guys at high school.
Yes, but they were scoping out guys for Kelly.
Yes.
Because obviously Brenda's taken.
Obviously.
And Kelly ends up spotting this cowboy in the corner. This guy dressed as a cowboy.
She thinks he's like so hot. And I'm sitting there like, you're walking past a lot of better looking people. I still don't understand why this cowboy stood out to her.
I don't know.
I think because he was by himself.
Yeah.
And he was just at the food table.
He wasn't there with buddies. He wasn't there with a girl.
And he was
he looked approachable.
He looked approachable. He had a very chill costume. Mm-hmm. That wasn't, like, something you had to really figure out or something that was a little crazy. It was just a cowboy costume.
Now, think of it also like this. Kelly was just hurt by this date not showing up. By getting stood up, basically.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of feeling a little upset and vulnerable.
Yeah.
So she wants somebody who's going to
pay attention to her.
Pay attention to her, for one. Obviously, you can see this costume. She wants somebody to pay attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she also doesn't want to risk getting hurt again or getting rejected.
Right.
And so this guy looked safe.
Yeah. And so she goes up to him and they kind of start talking. Mm-hmm. They start kind of, like, doing that flirtiness where you're, like, pretending to not flirt.
Yeah.
And, like, almost pretending to be, like, annoyed with each other, but it's flirting.
Yes.
We all kind of know that sort of conversation.
Yes. They were very deep in that conversation.
They were. And so they start going back and forth, and things are going really well.
Yeah.
This guy seems very interested, and he seems quite nice.
Yeah, he's a college-age guy. He goes to USC,
mm-hmm.
and they make jokes, and you can tell they're both kind of play-acting their characters of who they're dressed as.
Yes, like he's play-acting the cowboy who just rolled in the town, and he's doing an accent and everything. And
yeah.
At one point in time, I was unsure if the accent was still in character or if that dude actually just had an accent.
And then we find out later when he starts talking for real, it was in character.
It was in character. Yeah. And Kelly's playing the bad witch, and she's...
It was kind of cute at first.
It was really cute. He's saying, like, you know, how'd you get here on your horse? And he's like, I parked it right next to your broomstick, and it was really cute.
Yeah. And then she asks, you know, does your horse need water first, or do you get a drink first? And he's like, oh, I'll have a drink, your witch's brew, as she's pouring punch. And, you know, there's this really a very cute little back and forth they had
very
going.
Very playful.
And then we switch over and we see poor Donna. She's struggling. She can't walk.
Aww.
No, she's just still standing in the same spot she was earlier.
Because essentially she had to have the girls, like, help her to a spot.
Yeah.
Because she could not move anywhere.
Not at all.
So she's just kind of stuck there, basically a show mermaid.
For sure. But then, the sweetest moment. Okay. I love some of Steve's character changes as he's growing and maturing.
Mm-hmm.
He's so sweet. And he comes up and talks to Donna.
Lindsay, darling, can I ask you something? Why do you always do stuff like this?
Like what?
Like wearing that ridiculous dress to the spring dance or dressing like a trout.
You know I'm a mermaid. And besides, I was just trying to win the best costume.
What'd you think? Halloween was a swim event?
No. I just thought it'd be fun.
You know, every now and then it'd be okay if you were just yourself.
Yeah, we'd want to see that.
I would. And most other guys here. I promise you.
When he kisses her forehead just before he says the I promise you line.
Yeah.
And he kisses her forehead so sweet.
Just, that's such a brotherly moment is what it looked like to me.
Oh, yeah. Just that moment of like, just be yourself. You don't need to be silly like this.
Sweet.
It was so sweet. And like, and they brought up the red dress again.
Yep. Which is, that's why I also mentioned that last week, because I also know they brought it up, so they were already making that comparison too. It's not just me.
Right, which it does seem like this is a thing that Donna does on purpose.
Yeah, it's Donna.
I think it's that she's afraid to, like, just be herself and just be pretty at those kind of things, or just do what she would want to do, because she's afraid of what people will think.
You know
and
what I wonder too?
Hmm.
She's grown up with Kelly as her best friend. Kelly's mom was a model. Kelly is just drop-dead gorgeous. Everyone looks at Kelly as this beautiful girl.
And Donna's the weird one.
Yeah, I think she's always felt like she was in Kelly's shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't look at herself and see the beautiful girl that she is.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of went through that similarly. When I was in high school, I very much didn't see myself as somebody who people would describe first thing if someone were to describe me. As like, I don't know who that person is. I never thought that people would describe me as pretty first.
Mm.
Because to me, I always felt this, kind of similarly to Donna. I mean, not to say like I was made to feel like this. This was just an internal thing.
Yeah.
But my sister was a varsity cheerleader and was super popular and absolutely the prettiest person I've ever seen. And
she is disgustingly gorgeous.
Right? She's got... Like, she had great hair. She didn't struggle with acne nearly as much as I always did.
She really didn't at all.
Yeah. And so I always kind of had this, like, she's the pretty one. I'll be the weird one.
Mm.
I'll be the weird, quirky one. Because most pairings usually have a pretty one and a quirky one. And so I think Donna just always put herself in that spot of being the quirky, weird one because Kelly was the pretty one.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
I hope you realize now. You are beautiful.
I know.
You've always been pretty.
I know this now.
Guys, if you, even as a baby, you were such a pretty baby. If you guys could have seen her as a baby. Like, I remember when you were probably 4 or 5, and I'd have people stop me in the mall and be like, she's so beautiful. Your daughter is so, I'm like, I know, thank you. You've always been pretty.
You're like, I made that.
I made that. Thank you very much. But I'm glad you finally realized that you are pretty.
Yes.
And I hope that...
It took a while to get to that
point. I hope the time comes that Donna gets that realization too.
I hope so too. And I think she's starting to get there.
I think having friends like Steve will help a lot.
I think so. Yeah. And so I kind of related to that moment of wearing a weird costume because it's better than trying to wear something that you would actually want to wear.
Yeah.
Because then people notice your weird costume, but they don't notice you. They just remember the girl in the weird costume.
The girl in the red dress.
The girl in the red dress. The girl in the mermaid costume.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, goodness.
It's a really good comparison.
Yeah.
So we see Kelly and the cowboy dancing, and they're still really flirty, and it's not, like, fun dancing. It's, like, very, like, sensual kind of dancing.
It's, like, they're really, really close. There is no room for Jesus in there.
No.
And they're basically just swaying like you do at a teenage kind of dance.
Yes, but, like, it's cheek to cheek, you know, whispering in each other's ear, and they're definitely
flirting.
Getting close.
Mm-hmm.
So here at this party, Donna has to use the bathroom.
Yes, and so she stumbles her way over to Brenda.
She practically falls into Brenda's arms, literally.
She's nearly in tears, which I can understand. Because as she's, as they're walking away and Brenda's literally like holding her up practically, mm-hmm. Donna is saying that she thought that the zipper would work. So the zipper malfunctioned.
She couldn't go to the bathroom. And,
by herself. Ugh. And so she needs Brenda's help.
And Brenda's like, Brenda talks about herself in the third person. I'm like, I feel that girl. I do that
Brenda's
all the time.
Brenda's here for you. Brenda's got you.
Good girl, Brenda.
It was so cute.
So we see Kelly and the cowboy.
They're still dancing.
They're still dancing, but they're going to go get food. Song ended. And this is the point where if you hadn't seen it before, you should have started getting suspicious. Kelly wants a chicken wing.
Yes.
But the guy is like, no, you want a quesadilla.
No, you want the quesadillas.
Oh, no, I want the chicken wings. And he insists, like demands that you have the quesadillas.
They're so good.
And it's like, dude.
Why?
Why can't she have a freaking chicken wing if she wants a chicken wing?
When I was watching it, my first thought, because I have grown up with a mother who is slightly paranoid.
Me?
Yes.
Paranoid?
Yes.
Yep, I am.
And I am also a paranoid person. So my first thought was, he brought those quesadillas. He put something in them. That was my first thought.
Okay, so I may be a paranoid mom. At times, I might have been slightly helicoptery, but...
What?
I know.
No.
You're alive. You never got alcohol snuck to you.
Nope.
Nobody ever spiked your drink or your food or drugged you.
Nope.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And you've married a wonderful man and are living happily now.
Yes.
So I kept you safe and then handed you off to Tyler. I'm like, whew, survived.
Yeah, I'm his problem now.
Yep.
Yep.
11 more months. And then Abigail is Daniel's problem. And then I can just relax and worry about your dad and me and our dogs.
Yeah.
Parenting is tough, guys. And this moment, the mom in you, that's what was going on, is Hannah's desire to be a mom came out in watching this episode.
And I was just going, Kelly, do not eat the quesadillas. Do not eat the quesadillas. What if he put something in them? You do not know this boy. Why is he being so insistent on the quesadillas?
He's just controlling.
Just insist on, no, I want a chicken wing, and do not listen to him.
But she eats the quesadilla. It does not poison her.
No.
There's nothing in it.
It's fine.
He's just a control freak.
For some reason.
So then she says, I wish there was somewhere we could talk and get to know each other
because
that wasn't
so
loud.
Yeah, because the party's a little bit hectic, and there's all kinds of people bumping
into
them all the time.
There's so much music thumping and...
She wants to just find somewhere quiet
to chat,
to talk, and get to know each other.
And he says, I know just the place. So they go upstairs.
And to a bedroom.
There's this bedroom. And so they go in. First, they leave the door open. And she's just kind of looking around, talking about the architecture. This really old building, really cool architecture there. He's like, I don't want to talk about architecture. And she starts talking about herself and just trying to have casual conversation. The door's still kind of open.
Yeah.
And he's just coming on really strong. And she tells him that she's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And... he doesn't care. So that's when he's like, gets up and she's like, I just want to go. And so she starts walking towards the door and he steps between her and the door
and
shuts it.
And he says, no, you don't.
And locks it.
Yeah. So she's now stuck in this room with this guy.
She keeps telling him no.
Repeatedly.
She's making it very clear.
I want to leave. I don't want to do this. I want to leave.
And he's like, no, you don't. You don't want to leave.
Nope, not the way you're dressed.
Yeah, apparently he thinks the way she's dressed and that she was flirting with him earlier means it's an instant yes.
PSA time. No matter what a girl is wearing, even if she is wearing nothing, if she says no, she is not asking for it.
Nope. No means no at all
times. No matter what stage of anything you're going on.
And if you're at a yes and then it becomes a no.
It's still a no.
No is the winning answer.
Yes.
And honestly, it goes the other way around too.
It does.
Because there are, people don't realize that guys actually do get date raped as well.
Yeah. Many people don't like to think about that, but
and
it's
guys,
very true.
Guys don't talk about it because they're ashamed because they have this feeling like, well, guys just always want it. Well, there are women who can come on too strong and push themselves. Guys, if you don't want it, say no.
No matter.
Girls, if you don't want it, say no.
No matter who you are.
Stand up for yourself.
Yeah. Stand up for yourself. Say no. And if the person does not accept that answer, scream as loud as you can.
And realize that it's not your fault if you cannot stop the situation.
It's
if you've
not your
said
fault.
No, it is not your fault. This guy keeps pushing. He forces himself on her.
He pushes
her down to the bed and like lays on her.
She's trying to get... pull away, but he's like holding her hands down.
She's trying to scream, but then he like keeps his mouth on her mouth so she can't scream. She can't move.
And then thankfully The door opens. It's Donna and Brenda stumbling in.
Yep.
You know, I don't even care about the call. Oh, Callie, we're so sorry. Sorry. Callie, what's wrong?
She's kidding.
It's not
true. We're playing make-believe.
That's not true. He threw me out of bed and he wouldn't let me up. I tried to stop.
Callie, stop kidding. They're going to believe you.
He locked the door, but...
You bastard.
Dylan, come in here. I need you.
You guys got this way, way out of proportion. I mean, this is so funny. What?
He tried to attack Callie.
Hey, we were both into it, and then suddenly she started lying. You guys know what I mean, right?
How dare you lay a hand on her? I love that girl.
Hey, Steve, it's all right, man. Let's just take Dale Evans here and show him the trail.
Guys, you got this all wrong. I can live with that. I mean, when a girl dresses like a slut... You really don't have a clue, do you, pal?
Such an idiot. I thought I was being all sexy dressing like this, you know? Look where it got me.
Callie, I tried to tell you that the dress was a little too much.
It wasn't the dress, though. It was me and what I did.
Callie, you said no. He should have listened, period.
I should have listened to you. You tried to warn me. You tried to tell me what I was walking into.
Callie, you said no.
I said no too late. Might as well have been saying yes, you know? I was trying to act all cool and everything. Talking sexy. I was leading him on.
Well, then he should go take a cold shower. Or whenever they do.
Can I say something? I know the last thing you need right now is another guy telling you what to do or what to think.
Go ahead, please.
You're blaming yourself for leading that guy on. But I want you to know, as a guy, it doesn't matter how much of a magnet a girl turns on. A guy always has a choice of not making her do something she doesn't want to do.
I didn't make that choice very easy, now, did I?
Yeah, you did. You said no.
And after that, what happened isn't your fault.
Okay, so much to break down there.
A lot to break down. Let's just start from the beginning of that clip. Brenda and Donna come in, and they think that, like, Kelly and this dude are just having a good time. And so they're kind of like, oh, sorry, Kelly.
She jumps up, because he's, like, kind of caught unaware, like, oh, somebody just came in. And he kind of releases his grip from her a little bit, enough so she can get away from him.
Yes.
Kelly, tearfully, with, like, her little dress part...
It's torn.
She runs over to them, tears streaming down her face, crying at them, and they're like, oh, whoa.
Whoa, what's happening?
And so he's very defensive. He's like, don't believe her, don't believe her. We're just making up. We're making believe. And
we're playing make-believe.
It's like, really, dude?
No. That is not make-believe.
They're going to believe their friend who is crying at them saying, he attacked me. I love when Brenda just goes to the door because Kelly says it's locked. So she goes to check and it's like, oh, it was locked.
And she gives the guy this look like
how dare
you're
going to
die.
And when she just yells out the door,
Dylan, get in here. I need you.
It was great.
Oh my gosh.
And the fact of course, Dylan comes running.
3 seconds later, he's in the room.
And
Steve right behind him.
Steve right there with him, yeah.
And Brenda says the words, he tried to attack Kelly, and Steve is like a pit bull and just starts going at him.
Oh, melted my heart when Steve told him, how dare you, I love that girl.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah. And then Dylan and Steve drag him outside.
They literally drag this boy outside while the girls comfort Kelly.
You'll hear the sound kind of fades out and then fades back in because I cut out the part.
Scene changes.
The scene changes. You don't need to listen to them drag him outside.
Yeah, no.
And Steve just punches him. And then the guy tries to, like, oh, you guys know what I mean?
You guys get it. She's lying, right?
She's dressed like a slut. She's asking for it. Oh, buddy.
And neither of them are taking it. And they're like, you just don't get it, do you? And they kind of give him what for?
Steve punches him real good and hard. Really he falls hard to the ground.
When he calls glad. Kelly a slut.
Yeah, Steve's not, he's Ooh. Not handling that well.
Mm-mm.
So then it fades back out and back in, and we're up with the girls, and Kelly's crying because obviously she's going through a very traumatic event.
She's blaming herself,
which is normal in the situation. And then the one point where both you and your sister were kind of like, ooh, was when Brenda...
I did kind of tell you that the dress was a bit much.
So on one hand, okay, total PSA time here.
Yes.
Absolutely, it does not matter if you say no. No is the answer.
Right.
But, young ladies...
when you are still a teenage girl, especially, or if you are going to be around large groups of people that you don't know... Even people you do know.
You are inviting more chances of a bad situation when you dress like that.
It's like, I understand wanting to dress for yourself and dress cute.
Totally get that.
Wear a fun outfit. Absolutely. Also, I don't care if you wear a corset for an outfit on Halloween. That's none of my business.
Nope.
But you have to understand the risks that come with it. Same as if you go... and do any sort of sport activity, you have to understand the risks that by playing that sport, there's a risk of you getting hurt. It's one of those things that it's just understanding the situation you're in and being aware of your surroundings.
Like what you were just saying with sports.
Yes.
Your sister, obviously, being a cheerleader, she had a lot of concussions. She had chances of injuries. You know, she was throwing girls and catching them because she was so strong.
Right. But chances, there were... girls who tried to join the cheer squad at certain points that didn't expect it to be as intense as it was and were almost like mad about it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, you need to understand that if you're doing this thing, you have to understand all the pieces that may or may not come with that.
It doesn't mean that just because you do a sport, you're instantly going to be injured and you're going to have a concussion.
And it doesn't mean that if you dress slutty at a party that you're going to get raped.
Exactly.
It just means that you need to be aware. It increases your
chances and you need to be aware that you need to be more aware of your surroundings, shall we say. And
have a backup buddy. Honestly, yes. Girls, I mean, even guys, have a backup buddy. Always right? Never go places if you can help it completely by yourself. Always have somebody that you're either in contact with or can see you.
Yep. Because in a situation like this, when Kelly was down in the party, she was getting slime balls hit on her. But she was in a safe zone because her friends were right there. And Brenda was
constantly watching her.
But once she left the area, safety net was down.
Yeah.
And that's when trouble happened. So
exactly.
We're not saying it's a horrible idea to ever wear anything revealing.
No, go for it.
But you do need to realize that you are inviting eyes to look at you.
And you don't control what eyes those are.
Yep. So it's not like she was telling her... it's all your fault because you wore that. But honestly, she was kind of giving her a bit of a warning, but she instantly went right into, you know, you did say no.
I kind of, I've been taught with work to do the same thing when comforting kids after they've, you know, made a mistake or something like that. Yeah. Like if they jumped off of the jungle gym and, you know, got a scrape on their knee.
Yeah.
Then usually the conversation goes, well, we know we weren't supposed to be jumping off the castle, right? Are you okay? Obviously, I want to make sure you're taken care of. But we know that probably wasn't our best plan, right?
Exactly.
It's more like you did kind of understand the risks, but I'm still going to help you. No. Right.
What about Dylan?
I loved when Dylan came in because there's something about in this situation, especially for Kelly, to hear, I mean, you hear girls say it to each other all the time, but to hear a guy who has been known in the past, and Kelly has known Dylan for years.
Yeah.
At least from a distance.
He's been a bit of a womanizer in the past.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And so to hear him say,
doesn't matter what kind of a magnet she's putting off.
The guy still has the choice not to force her to do anything. And then when she's saying, I didn't make that choice very easy now, did I? And he goes, yeah, you did. You said no.
I was so proud of Dylan in that moment.
When he even says, the only thing that you had to do was say no. Everything else past that is that boy's fault.
So then after the clip ends, Donna says he's a rapist. And Kelly tries to defend him still. Like, oh, no, no.
No, no, no. That's not what it was.
And when the girls are like, what would have happened had we not come in when we did?
Kelly doesn't say a word.
And she realizes that, like, oh.
Yeah.
So then we see the party, our group is leaving the party. And Steve is out there consoling Kelly and just hugging her. I think he kissed her on the forehead. I'm not sure. Was that just the Donna thing? I can't remember.
Maybe I was mixing it up. They hug at least.
They hug at least. And I thought it was really sweet after last week's episode when he had his heart broken and she was comforting him.
Yes. And he kind of says, like, what was it he said? It was really cute. the fact that he'd said something about, like, I meant what I said back there. And she says, I know you did.
When he said he loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, not so responding precious. To it or leading him on in that way, but still acknowledging that, of course I know that you do.
That's sweet. That's
yeah. Sweet. And it was adorable. And as they're leaving this group, they kind of run into Brandon and Emily.
Who, we'll talk about their story in a little bit, but this is where the two kind of merge.
Yes.
So this one clip we're going to play now, but we're also going to play it when we talk about the B story as well.
Yes.
Because it goes with both.
Hey, where's the party?
Hey, it's been a long time since I heard my brother say where's the party.
Well, it's been quite a long time since I've had any reason to say it. Yeah, well, you're just a little out of shape. Stick around, champ. Hey, we're going to the Peach Pit and unwind, George Jordan. Ah, well, how long has it been since we've been at the Peach Pit?
Minutes.
At least. Let's go. Sure. See you there.
I love that this group, that's their spot. They go to the Peach Pit.
Yeah.
I just love that.
I mean, honestly, with Nat being there, it's a great place for them to go and also have somebody who could give them advice on things when they need it.
For sure. And tonight's the night, place, I think they need advice.
I think so. I also just loved the, because in the B storyline, we'll see later, Brandon and Emily do end up at the Peach Pit at one point.
Yeah.
And they left there to come to the party.
And then instantly, like, well, back to the Peach Pit we go.
I don't know, something about the, like, how long has it been since we were at the Peach Pit? Minutes at least.
That was pretty great.
That was so funny. I was dying. Yeah, and so that's kind of where plot A ends.
Yep.
And it kind of went through a bit of a dark moment. Yeah. But it does end on a really sweet note.
It does.
And I like
it
that.
Does. Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
So, I'm bringing back the wait, what segment for this episode.
Yes.
Because I have a thing.
We have not had a wait, what in a while. And before you have your wait, what, we do want a quick explanation. We're not doing a wait, what every single week because obviously we haven't done one forever.
Yeah. It's mostly when there are moments that I'm like, wait, what?
Because so this segment is back today.
It's back today. And it's in reference to a term that was used. And I'm not sure if it's a real one or not.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
Let me play this. Is it this one I'm thinking?
I think it's this one.
Come on. Don't be a squeef.
A squeef?
I have no idea.
What's a squeef?
Honestly, I don't
I feel like
remember.
I shouldn't say that word.
Ooh, as I dropped my notebook, sorry. I looked it up on Urban Dictionary.
And I feel like you probably shouldn't have.
And in modern terminology, it's usually used in reference to marijuana and such.
Oh, okay.
But back then, I don't think he was referencing marijuana.
No, because it's when they're getting ready to go to the costume
shop. No, they're in the costume shop because Dylan doesn't want a costume.
But Steve is finding funny hats and stuff and is saying, come on, man, don't be a squeef.
What the heck?
What's a squeef?
So anyone out there...
Is this a real phrase? Because I don't think it is. I think they made this up.
Anyone my age or a couple years older than me, so like mid-40s to upper-40s, hello, a.k.a. most of our listenership.
Yes.
We love you guys. You are my age people. You're my people.
Yeah, if any of you guys ever used the phrase squeef...
Or had friends that did.
Or even heard it at random and knew what it meant...
Please let us know what it means.
Please help me.
Help us. Because
don't get me wrong.
Know.
I know my generation kind of comes up with a lot of weird phrases and stuff
Y'all
sometimes.
Y'all do. It's weird.
Yeet.
Ugh, yeet.
Don't judge
Is
the word
squeef
yeet.
Squeef like the yeet of the time?
I don't know. Is it a real phrase that people actually used, or is it one of those that only ever really appeared in media? Because some phrases are like that. They only really appeared in media, but yet people established them as like phrases of the time, but nobody in casual conversation used them.
No idea. So let's hope that somebody reaches out and lets us know.
Hopefully, because I don't know what a squeef is, and if I can find out that it's actually just a funny, insulting word for your friends, I'm calling all of my friends squeefs.
Unless it has a new modern terminology meaning that you
does.
Don't want to use,
I mean,
you
in
might
that case,
want to
then
do
I probably
some Googling.
Wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you guys could help me out, I would love to know. What is a squeef?
Be our Google for us, our early
Please.
90s Google.
Please.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. Go feed Hannah some more food before
I'm
she
hungry.
Passes out on me. We'll be back. All right, we are back from break.
We're back. That was a bit more of a tired one.
You said real tired.
There. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so we have the B and the C story plot lines to talk about now.
Yes.
First, we're going to talk about the B, which is Emily and Brandon.
Yes, which was actually really fun.
It was. Yeah. So it's a kind of a shorter section, both of these are.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, A was our big chunk of time today.
Obviously.
So it starts off with Emily and Brandon walking and talking in the hall.
Kind of discussing Halloween plans.
I love when Brandon's talking about that he's not going to this big party that everyone's going to because it's loud and we have to dress up and I don't like dressing up too much. And
there's drinking.
There's drinking and I don't drink. And there's dancing and I dance like a white boy. Well, he does. And they just kind of, it plays into the whole Brandon doesn't dance thing.
Brandon doesn't dance and Brandon doesn't go to parties.
Nope.
That's just not who he is.
It's not who he is. And Emily says she's not going because she wasn't invited.
Which seems odd because it seems like it was a general...
Everybody go kind of thing.
Everybody go.
Yeah, I got that feeling too.
I think it's more like she was going to say she might stop by if he said he was going.
I disagree with you there.
Really?
I think it's more Emily has very low self-esteem, and if she's not directly invited to a big group thing like that, she feels uncomfortable.
Okay. I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I think it's also like she's probably just
one She's the new kid.
She's the new kid, and she seems like the type to go, that's not my scene. I'm almost like I'm a little bit better than that, than a kit than a high school costume party.
Agree to disagree.
Okay, fair cool. enough.
And I have to struggle because I do know Emily's future of the show and how her personality is, so I'm trying not to let that influence my thoughts too much.
Right.
But just seeing this, though, I do, just some of her behaviors and this make me feel like she wants to be asked to be included.
Okay.
You know, she's...
I could see that, yeah.
So then the next time we see her and Brandon is they're at the Walsh's. Well, he's at the Walsh's doing Halloween prep. Jim and Cindy and Brandon are decorating for Halloween, getting ready for trick-or-treaters. And Cindy does not want to give out candy.
Mom, don't you think the kids here are going to be a little disappointed with raisins?
Oh, they got plenty of candy bars at everyone else's house.
I just want to give them something a little wholesome. I mean, let the other people give them junk.
Right. You know what they say? Raisins are nature's candy.
I can't believe you just said that. You don't even like raisins.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, the fact that we always call Cindy wholesome, and when she says wholesome, it sounds wholesome the way she says wholesome.
I just want to give them something wholesome.
Like, oh, Cindy, you're the cutest. She is wholesome.
The way that Jim said, you know what they say, raisins are nature's candy.
He's repeating Cindy.
He's repeating something Cindy has said so many times over years. Cindy has probably always been the raisins at Halloween mom.
Yes.
And that makes me laugh so hard because it's perfect for her character.
It really is.
But then when Brandon's like, you don't even like raisins. How could you say that? This has been a family thing for so long.
Right? Another family thing for so long is Brandon dresses up in his Dracula cape with his big fake plastic Dracula teeth. And
to scare the trick-or-treaters. I think it's more...
to give them raisins.
Right. And I think it's more like the kids probably just think like, oh my goodness, an adult actually, or a big kid is actually into it.
He's just getting into it, which is really cute, actually. Oh, yeah. No, he's not scary. I mean, again, it's Brandon Walsh in a cape with plastic teeth.
Very fake plastic teeth. You know the plastic teeth that are just like the foldy ones?
Like the ones you get in a gumball machine.
Or may or may not be glow in the dark. Those ones.
That's kind of what Brandon was wearing.
Yeah. And a very...
They're hilarious.
And a very cheap Halloween costume vampire cape.
Yes.
Yes.
So the first doorbell rings and he goes to answer it.
He whips on his cape.
Whips on his cape, puts his teeth in. He's ducked down low and he opens the door and it's Dylan.
And he's like, he shouts up the stairs.
Yeah.
Clyde's here.
Bonnie, Clyde's here. And it was cute. And that's when it goes into the scene we talked earlier about.
Yes, with the photo.
Mom wouldn't take the picture of them. And the doorbell rings again. He's so excited. He gets his cape back on, puts his teeth back in.
And it's a bunch of doors, kids.
A bunch of kids. And Cindy comes over and they're giving the kids Halloween
raisins.
Halloween raisins.
It does look like they are at least festive boxes of raisins.
Yes.
I think.
They're giving them all festive Halloween raisins.
And as the kids walk away, they're like, great, nature's candy. Or like some of the kids, over a couple times, we see different groups of kids come up and get raisins. And yeah. It's this sort of running joke.
The kids are just like, oh. They're all very disappointed.
Do you want to trade? Anybody want to trade?
So then another time, when kids are walking away, Brandon shuts the door because he wants to be able to be ready to greet the next ones.
Because there's more coming up the steps right then.
Yes, as kids are walking away. The doorbell rings that time, and he opens it up, and it's two little kids in sheets with the eyes cut out.
Matching ghost costumes.
Matching ghost costumes, and he's like, rawr. You know, rawr. And he does his Brandon thing, and, he looks up, there's Emily.
And he's suddenly embarrassed.
So embarrassed. He's standing with his fake teeth and the cape. And
he quickly spits out the teeth and takes off the cape and is like, hey, how's it going?
And she's here with her niece and nephew. They're twins.
Lauren and Drew.
And she's taking them out trick-or-treating.
Which is really cute.
So cute. And he gets all excited. He tells me, I'm a twin too. And
they think it's the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah. Twins are into twins. It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
But then suddenly one of them, as they're getting their candy, and Brandon and Emily are kind of just talking, one of them kind of pulls at Emily and is like, I have to go to the bathroom.
It's Drew.
Because
Emily keeps, like, reassuring herself, like, constantly. She's like, she looks at them, Lauren and Drew. And she looks again, Lauren and Drew.
Because they're both in sheets. You can't tell apart.
And they're twins, so they're the same size.
Well, Drew has to go to the bathroom. And Cindy's standing there, and of course, Emily's like, Mrs. Walsh, would you mind? And she's like, oh, no. Oh, Lauren, why don't you come too and try?
You should try now. And she's like, but I don't have to go. And she's like, I know.
Cindy is such the ultimate insta-mom. And so she takes the two kids in to use the bathroom. And Brandon and Emily have this lovely little chit-chat at the door.
Jim mysteriously disappears.
Disappears and appears. You never know where Jim's at times.
No.
And so we see the young twins. I had to clarify in my notes, young twins. Sometimes I'll just write twins, talking about Brandon and Brenda.
Yes. No. Luckily, they are in different places this time.
Thank goodness. The young twins come back out from the bathroom, and they're getting their costumes back on, and Emily invites Brandon to go trick-or-treating with them all.
And he tries to, like, dip out and be like,
my mom needs me here.
I should probably stay here and hold down the fort. I think because he was just had that... He's nervous to hang out with a girl he kind of likes.
And so he's kind of like, no. But then, of course, Jim and Zinni are like, we can handle this.
I think we can handle it. We've been handing out raisins to trick-or-treaters enough years, Brandon. We got this. We're fine.
So we see Brandon and Emily are out trick-or-treating with the kids. And they're just kind of walking along.
The kids are kind of behind them.
We see the two little ghost heads behind them. And they're talking about trick-or-treating back east. Mm-hmm. When Brandon grew up in Minnesota and Emily grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And how there's always the dry leaves.
And they talk about how the shuffling through piles of leaves and crunching on them as you walk in your costume.
Before we moved to Montana, I had never experienced that. I didn't understand that really when TV shows referenced it. But now, it is something special.
See, I don't remember much about Halloween's when we still lived in Arizona. I was just so young.
You were 10 when we moved here.
Yeah, and also we were in a big city back in Arizona. So going trick-or-treating was a little bit more...
We went up and down our street and that was it.
Or we went to trunk-or-treat with our church.
Yep.
So, I mean, I remember that because my friend and I sat in her dad's car and watched Nightmare Before Christmas on a loop for the entire night after we went around to all the cars. Yeah. Then we just sat down. But I don't remember much of Halloween's before that. But then I remember, like, when we first moved here, going trick-or-treating with leaves on the ground and crunching through them. They were usually wet.
Or snow.
I was going to say, the leaves are usually wet, so they don't crunch as much here in October.
Because by the time end of October comes, we usually have already had our first snow, and the leaves are kind of soggy looking.
Yeah.
They're no longer...
September is for crunching leaves.
Yeah.
And beginning in between snowstorms.
Beginning of October is crunchy leaves.
Yes.
Anyhow, so back on track. Walking along, talking. And you don't notice that they do it so subtly, but the camera kind of changes angles just slightly.
It pans kind of up and zooms in a little bit.
Just to watch Brandon and Emily's faces talking.
Yes.
And then suddenly you see Emily turn around.
She's like, we should probably head home.
No, No, she says, we're going to cross the street. We got to hold hands. And the kids are gone.
Like gone.
Like gone. Nowhere in sight.
There are no little sheet ghosts to be seen.
Major panic, obviously.
She's like, I lost my niece and nephew.
So she and Brandon are calling the kids' names, screaming them up and down the street, can't find them. They get the police involved, so the police are stopped there, lights going.
And the police are like, we have kids go missing every year. We always find them. But the driver is like, but what about that one kid that one time?
Dude, why would you say that? Bad police moment.
Yeah. And so they're trying to find Lauren and Drew. Emily's panicking, but Brandon's keeping a really cool head.
He is.
He's just like, we'll find them. We'll figure it out. They're smart. We've got this. It's a safe neighborhood. It's all good. We'll find them.
They gave the cops Brandon's parents' phone number, his house phone number, because that's where was the nearest place. Emily, I didn't think, lived too close by.
I don't think so.
And so they're like, so they went back to the Walsh's to see if the police had called. So they come storming in the door. Did the police call? We can't find the twins. They're lost.
They hear screaming from the other room. And Cindy's like, they're here.
They're here.
They've been here.
And I love when she says to Emily, you always told them to go back, if they ever get lost, to go back to the last place
they remember. No, they say that to Emily. The kids do.
Oh, I know. The first time Cindy says that, you always told them. And then the kids are like,
we went back to the last place we knew.
Where were you?
We were so worried.
Oh, so cute. They were worried about it. But they're wrestling with Jim.
No costumes, just chilling out.
And all I could think is like, wow, it's been a while since Jim has had young twins like this that he's wrestling with. But he just jumped right back into like, yeah, I know what to do here.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cute.
It's so cute. And like Cindy's saying like, I hope it's okay. I let them start digging into their candy.
And yeah, they ate all of it, well, except for the raisins.
Except for the raisins. And then Emily goes over to kind of see the twins and be like, I was looking for you. And then Brandon's standing there and he goes, hey, Mom, you got a little bit of chocolate
on the corner of your mouth. Oh, yeah, she was getting into their Halloween buckets, too. That's what moms do, duh.
Yeah, you take all of the things that you want and then give your child the pillowcase of candy.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of probably noticed there was less Reese's peanut butter cups in your buckets.
It's called mom tax.
Yeah, mom tax. I never snuck them out. I was very honest with you girls that we were taking it. It was called mom tax in our family.
Yes.
Mom tax means, and I was teaching you guys a financial lesson at a young age.
I didn't remember it. I'm bad with my finances, Mom.
I know, sweetheart. But parents, here's your bit of advice. Mom tax. You teach your kids about finances, that anytime you buy something, most places, you have a sales tax, right? Now here in Montana, we don't have sales tax. Woo-hoo. It's wonderful. But there are still other taxes you have to pay.
Right.
Property tax and all this kind of stuff. There's income tax that comes out of your paycheck before you get it.
Right.
Tax always gets paid before you get the money.
Right. So mom tax is the candy that mom takes out of your Halloween bag.
And you don't get to choose which candies mom takes out.
Nope.
That's part of tax. Mom tax means that is my payment that I take out for schlepping around to buy and or make your costume and take you trick-or-treating.
Correct. So, usually you ended up taking a lot of the Snickers because we didn't like Snickers when we were that young.
It's because your daddy liked Snickers.
That too.
And Reese's Peanut Butter Cups because that was what I liked.
Yes, which I was always really sad about because I was like, I want the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I always try to leave you at least one.
One?
Yeah.
One! In the whole pillowcase?
You were a tiny kid. You're fine. You're fine.
That's fair.
And then the kids can swap their candies back and forth and trade who gets what.
Yes.
But yes. That's mom tax, just so everyone knows. Anyhow, Cindy was still performing mom tax. Good for her.
Yes. Not the raisins, though.
Even
she won't eat the raisins.
That's hilarious. So she even admits to Brandon that, well, maybe next year we'll actually get candy bars.
Next year we'll do candy bars, okay?
So the next time we see them, Brandon and Emily are at the Peach Pit. They've dropped the kids off at home. Their stressful evening is done because that was a lot for them to handle.
That's a lot to handle.
And they're relaxing after knowing the kids are safe and sound, probably tucked into bed. They start having a pretty philosophical conversation about how Brandon's like, you know, I feel so bad. Emily says at first that I don't know what I would have done if you weren't there tonight.
And Brandon's like, there would have been someone else. If I didn't exist, somebody else would have been there to help you. And
they get more philosophical when he says that, well, if if I didn't exist, if I wasn't there tonight, you wouldn't have lost them because you would have been focused on them and not me, talking to me.
And she kind of like smiles and is like, well, maybe that's true.
And then she tells him that, well, I didn't go to your house by accident. It wasn't just happening to be trick-or-treating. We went there on purpose.
To say hi.
Ta-da, or something like that.
And yeah. It was really funny. I think she does say ta-da, which is really cute. And she's really kind of embarrassed about it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going off of, too, about earlier, is that she wants to be invited places. She wants to be welcomed, but she kind of wants to put herself in the opportunities to be invited.
Which I can understand that, because I was a lot of times the friend that, like, either was the last invite or didn't get invited to as many of the group occasions.
Yeah.
There would be group occasions that I wouldn't get the invite to, but I would just sort of hover myself around them at all times whenever they were making plans.
Hoping to get included.
Hoping to get included. Same. So I can understand that.
Well, shock of the day, she and Brandon do some kissing.
They do some kissing.
Yep, yep, that's the Brandon way. And then the next time we see them, they are showing up to the party. And it's that same scene we heard earlier that we'll listen to again real quick, just because it's amusing.
Just because it's funny.
Hey, where's the party?
Hey, it's been a long time since I heard my brother say, where's the party?
Well, it's been quite a long time since I've had any reason to say it.
Yeah, we're just in a lot of shape. Stick around, champ. Hey, we're going to the Peach Pit unwind. You want to join us?
Oh, well, how long has it been since we've been at the Peach Pit?
Minutes.
At least. Let's go. Sure. See you there.
So I wanted to play that again because it's just so cute hearing them, the whole Brandon doesn't party thing. That comes back into play.
Yes.
And the group sees him and it's like, he's ready for a party. And it's like, whoa, that's weird.
Whoa.
But it's Emily. It's having Emily there that made him want to go to a party and want to be sociable.
Yeah. And so, but I love the... How long has it been since we were at the Peach Pit?
Minutes. At least.
At least.
And it was just so funny because they just came from it. All right. So that is all of the B plot line.
Yes.
So now let's move on to the C plot line.
Yes. We start off with C plot line of David in the DJ booth. And he's kind of like sorting through different...
Yeah. This was last week's teaser clip.
Yes. So in the clip, Scott had come in and was talking about the egg fight, which is apparently this annual thing that happens
with
Beverly Hills Kids every year.
But it hasn't happened in a while from the sound of it.
Or at least this year, there's a lot of cops that are going to be around because they know that it happens every year, that vandalism happens every year. Obviously, the police are going to want to try and prevent that. And so most of the people who used to participate in this are kind of like, we don't really want to go.
It was something they did in junior high and now they're all high school.
Right.
Like, they're all sophomores and juniors and they're seniors. Like,
it's not worth it. Because, like, the cops find a bunch of middle schoolers throwing eggs at things. They're going to go, hey, go home to your parents.
You find a 17-year-old doing that.
You arrest them.
You arrest them. It's like, you know better by now. But Scott doesn't seem to know better. He doesn't seem to have that mental line drawn of,
and they sort
you're
of
no longer a child.
As they're talking, it almost sounds like he's kind of started acting out a lot. Like he has a detention for something he did. And he mentions a couple other antics that he's been getting up to. And he's like excited to be causing trouble.
Yeah.
It's weird.
As he and David are slipping apart, it seems that he is making some less wise choices in life.
Yeah, and I'm not too pleased with it. But I also, I mean, we've all had those friends.
Yep.
At a certain point, you just have to realize that there's nothing else you can
do. Cut your losses. But I do like this episode, the fact that they do kind of have that bonding time.
Yes, they do.
So at the party, David is there because he was making the tapes that they used.
For the party.
And he's asking girls to dance and getting turned down, striking out left and right.
Yeah. He got turned down by Kelly because she's mingling. He got turned down by another random girl just because.
Just because. It's like, no.
And he seems to kind of just be like, I don't really like this.
He didn't really want to be there. He kind of had that like, ugh, I don't know what to do. So he bails.
He kind of stops to talk to Steve outside and be like, they reminisce over the egg fight.
Yes. Yep. The egg fight's back when we were in junior high. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know how fun that was.
It's not the same anymore. Maybe I'm getting too old for Halloween kind of stuff.
And so then he starts walking down the sidewalk. And then we see Scott crouched behind a bush holding or was surrounded by cartons of eggs.
Yes.
Hey, David. What are you doing here?
Locking home.
I thought you were really going to rule at that party.
Yeah, well, I got ruled out.
Well, you're in time for the egg fight. Lockhart and Carlson aren't here yet, but as soon as
Scott,
they come...
Lockhart and Carlson were at the party.
Oh. Quick, duck!
Could be a cop car. But we didn't do anything.
Not yet. But I've got plenty of ammo. 3 dozen grade A extra large.
You know what you look like?
What?
Like that time when you got stuck in the doggy door. You remember that?
How old are we?
Like 8 or 9.
All I know is you told my dad, just hold out a milk bone and he'll squeeze through.
No. It wasn't a milk bone. It was a liver snap.
That was it.
Liver snap. And you laughed so hard that that's how you popped out. God, that was classic.
I love this moment of reminiscing between the two of them.
Yeah,
because
really
the last
sweet.
Time that we really saw these two interact, and more recently, I mean, even in this episode, their interactions have felt strained. Because it's just that sad moment where you've grown apart from your childhood best friend.
Yep, we all have that. That person that you realize we used to be really close, but you and I are not the same people anymore. The only way that you can get along with those people and really still be friends with them is when you're reminiscing about the past.
And honestly, it's good to acknowledge that, yes, we have been friends for a long time, but then it's healthy to maybe then acknowledge we've grown apart and that's okay.
And I think that's what this episode did a lot for them.
Yeah. It was a lot about reminiscing and a lot about kind of seeing where's our friendship going to be now.
Yep.
So as they're kind of... David decides to just kind of stay and hang out with Scott.
Yeah, and they just hang out there and have fun.
They're not doing anything. Just crouching behind bushes with 3 cartons of eggs.
Yep, that's it.
Which is so funny. They end up laying on the ground and they're kind of talking about the good old days and old stories. And I'm sure that probably was going on for hours.
Yeah, because when a lot happens between the scene we just heard and what we're about to hear... But it wasn't stuff with them. It was stuff, all the party stuff was going on and everything. And so we really got this vibe that time had passed.
Yeah.
And this...
David's kind of dressing down from his, like, party outfit.
Yep. He's down just a t-shirt now, not his, you know, party jacket.
Oh, yeah. So then they kind of have this moment of talking about reminiscing with the egg fight.
Yep. And they started off realizing how late it is.
Yes.
Scott?
Yeah?
What time is it?
11 o'clock.
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, aren't you?
This egg fight just ain't gonna happen, is it?
Nope. You know what? The good old days are over. Kids don't have fun the way we used to. Times have changed. Not for the better.
You wanna egg a car?
Sure. What the hell? I mean, for old time's sake. Come on.
David, Scott, what's happening?
Yo, Brandon, how's it hanging?
What are you two doing hanging around like slugs?
Nothing.
What a waste. Where'd this rat come from? They don't have a good egg fight on Halloween.
Let's not encourage them, huh?
Beverly Hills kids. Rich wimps.
Oh my goodness.
So they decide that, I love David's just like casual like, sure, let's egg a car.
But of course the first car that drives by
is Brandon and Emily in Brandon's beautiful vehicle.
Yes, that 65 Stang should not be egged.
No. But so Scott is still like, raring to go. David's like, hold your fire, He's like, I know this guy, This
and
is
he holds his egg carton behind his back, like, oh, hey, oh, all hey. Casually.
But then Emily says, like, we know how to have a good egg fight where I'm from. And Beverly Hills kids, rich wimps.
And as they're driving away, when
David and Scott give each other this look, like they nod, and then they look at the car and start throwing eggs as hard as they can at the car. I don't
think any of them hit them, but it's enough that Brandon and them could see them and hear them behind them. And because the top is down, it's a convertible.
Oh, yeah.
And so here, you hear at the end, the eggs go...
on the street.
That's eggs splattering on the street behind them.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm sure Brandon probably looked in the mirror, and Emily did too, and looked behind and went... Oh, they did have eggs.
That was so great. I loved that moment.
It's like the plots were kind of crossing over each other for a second. Which I really appreciate because it makes it feel real.
Yeah.
Because just because those characters are doing something over there doesn't mean that they're not going to pass by the other characters doing something else. I like just kind of crossing them in and out like that.
For sure, I agree.
Yeah.
And it does make it a little more challenging to talk about separately, but I like being able to kind of twist them together sometimes. I think it's kind of fun. So, Miss Hannibal, what did you think of this episode?
I really, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
I felt like we got to see, other than Andrea, we got to see a lot from our characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was never a time where it was like, oh my gosh, we've only seen stuff from this character. Could we see what's going on in the other plot line? And it didn't feel jumpy like some episodes do. And I don't know, it felt like a turning point for the season.
Agreed.
It felt like we went from, okay, there's all these things happening. Now this is kind of our pinpoint of new things are going to start happening.
Yeah.
From that point.
What did you rate this one?
I rated this one an 8. And I know that's not as high as I've rated some other episodes. And honestly, it's because I liked it, but kind of like you were saying last week, that this episode kind of was like a standalone almost.
Okay.
It kind of felt like it was in a little bubble because it was a holiday episode.
Yeah.
Holiday episodes always kind of feel like they're in a separate little bubble world.
I see that.
You know? And like, I did really enjoy this episode because I also just love Halloween.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like... I don't know. I'm sticking with my 8.
Nice.
So, what about you, Mom? What did you give this one?
I also gave this one an 8.
Really?
Which is funny because it's higher than I've been giving a lot of episodes.
Interesting.
I really, really liked this episode. We did. For me, I looked at it as, I felt like our season had been, the school year part of the season had been progressing slowly upward, like it was climbing the story mountain.
Yeah.
Last week felt very much like a plateau. Like
that's when we got to the top.
And there was this nothing week there just yet. Felt like just a little bit more of a climb. Like, it feels like it's building.
Yes, it definitely felt like building towards
and
something.
I like that building towards, the story plot was building, not just plateaued.
Yes, and I felt like it was almost like we'd reached a point and kind of wrapped up a few of the things that they were working on in the first part of this season, even back in summer. A lot of the character stuff that we'd been working on was things like Brandon getting his car, Dylan and all of his stuff with his parents.
Yeah, that's all wrapped up now.
And so now it's kind of like they have to find ways to introduce the next thing. And so this one very much felt like a door's opening. You don't know what's going to happen next, but we're building to something.
I agree.
Something new. And I'm really excited about it.
One of the things that I really, really liked about this one is that it really felt like it was story building. And I like holiday special episodes, but this didn't feel like... They covered a lot of really serious topics for a, quote-unquote, very special episode of a holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, you dealt with, you know, potential rape kind of issues. We dealt with... but it was done in such a way
Losing kids on a Halloween holiday
like that. There was so much that really was like, wow, they dealt with a lot in a 45-minute episode.
This is a very eventful Halloween.
Very eventful Halloween. But yet it also left you not going... Some of these very special episodes leave you feeling like, ugh, that was so heavy. This one did not leave you feeling this way.
Mm-mm.
You still... You learned the lesson. You got the information. You felt like you... Like your characters are going, wow, they really made some good choices. Or maybe they learned how to make better choices next time. And they passed a really good PSA message along. And yet you were left with a smile and a giggle at the end, and just everything kind of wrapped in a nice tiny little bow.
Yeah.
This
was a really fun one. All right.
So next week's episode, we have a plan on watching it together the day before. No, we're watching it together the day we record. So we're going to try to squeeze in a couple of extra episodes next week, because Hannibal is off work for the week. And she's having a staycation next week. And during this time, we're going to try to record a few extra, so that when we have issues that have come up like the last couple weeks, we're already prepared.
Yeah.
So Tuesday, we're going to watch and then record immediately.
Yes.
Because I also think it'd be really fun, knowing next week's episode, it'd be really fun to hear your immediate thoughts right after it's recorded.
That'll be really fun.
All right, so you want to hear a teaser? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now, today's Scott's birthday, and in order for me to give him his present, you guys have to come get in the line, so come on.
I think we should make a run for it now.
No, Steve, Kelly, come on, don't be shy. Brandon, Brenda, Emily, all of you, come on. Steve.
Silver.
Now, if any of you have ever seen Scott dance, it's not a pretty sight. So, I need you guys to help me teach this major stud how to dance. Music maestro.
This must be our punishment for being late.
Okay, we got the beat. Go on, fellas. Go on, okay. Now, everybody get into it. Come on. Okay, Scott, you're off beat. It's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're kind of getting into it. That's cool. And Brandon's just not even doing anything. He's standing there. Brandon, come on. Okay, Brandon. Okay,
so the only thing I gleaned from that was that feels like the first time that David has said a few of their names in sequence like that. And that felt weird.
Okay, like what?
Like him going, all right, come on, Kelly, Steve, Brandon, Brenda, come on. And like the way he was saying it just, I don't know, it seemed casual for how David normally interacts with them. And it's Scott's birthday. Those are the only things I was able to glean from that. Otherwise, okay. It just sounded like music and people.
Yes.
Interesting. That should be fun.
I really struggled to find a clip for next week.
Okay. That wasn't spoilery?
That wasn't spoilery. Yeah. Abigail and I spent a good deal of time trying to find a clip that wasn't like, wait, what? What? Or, what? Spoilers? No.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I don't want spoilers.
Yes.
Just a teaser.
This was all we could do for next week.
Hey, that works for me.
Out of a 45-minute episode
that
wasn't either completely dull or spoilers.
But seemingly, the group is actually, like, letting David boss them around.
Yes.
Which is going to be interesting. Way.
You're going to have emotions next week. It's going to be fun.
I mean, I have emotions a lot of the time, Mom. Not just next week. All right, shall we get out of here?
Yeah, before I open my big old mouth here, because...
I can see it in your eyes.
I'm struggling, people.
Okay, we will see you guys next week here on...
Back to the Peach Pit.
Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music, where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.
Hey guys, wanted to take a minute and remind you where you can find us online. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Back to the Peach Pit. We also have that Patreon we've mentioned before, patreon.com/backtothepeachpit. We also ask that if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review us. Your reviews help other listeners find us, and we would really appreciate that. We look forward to hearing your thoughts about this week's episode.